Glenn Beck.
Have you heard the new movie review website called Rotten Apples? Not Rotten Tomatoes. This one is Rotten Apples. Rotten Tomatoes is the one that, you know, we convince each other to see a movie. Honey, it's got 92% of Rotten Tomatoes. Must be really good. I have no idea. Rotten Apples is not like that. Rotten Apples boils things down for the movie or TV show consumer. You type any title in, gives you an instant rating, either fresh apples or rotten apples. It's a website to address our current needs. It's very of the moment. You might say it's even hashtag me too, because that's what inspired it. Rotten Apples is a brand new website that tells you if anyone involved in a movie or a show has been accused of sexual misconduct, so you cannot watch it anymore. Notice I said accused of. It's not a criminal database. And no, I am not making this up. If you type in a movie, you just type in the movie title and, you know, no one's been accused of anything. The page just reads Fresh Apples. This movie has no affiliation with anyone with allegations of sexual misconduct against them. If you type in a show like House of Cards, however, then it says Rotten Apples, followed by the name of the person accused. If you click on the name, it links to an article from another media source about the allegations against that person. Are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? The team of four, two males, two females, who created the site say it's not meant to incite boycotts or movies, you know, on movies, shows or anything like that, but to help people make ethical media consumption decisions. Oh, is that what it is? This site just launched on Tuesday. I don't even know what to think about it. It's so new. I don't even know what to think. It's another example of, you know, the internet keeping an industry honest. Like a travel restaurant review site? Is this helping keep predators at bay? Or is this a website of a one-way ticket to Libel Town, since it's all based on accusations? Regardless of what we finally decide this is, it's kind of a suspenseful game. Type in your favorite movies, your favorite shows, cross your fingers, hope your childhood isn't ruined by figuring out your hero is a total creep. The results are surprising or not. Let me just warn you in advance. Unless you want your head to blow off, don't type in Home Alone 2 or under any circumstances, type in The Little Rascals. Trust me, just don't type them in.
It's Thursday, December 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Stu, how do you feel about the FBI texts? The ones that were released yesterday, how did you feel before you actually read all of the texts?
Well, I mean, I think there's a part of this that we can't overstate. I mean, the idea that there's someone in the FBI that is not a fan of Donald Trump just means, just like every other organization, there's somebody in every organization that is not a fan of Donald Trump.
Yeah, and if you're texting, you know, this guy's a buffoon or, you know, whatever, yeah. I mean, you have those people in your office. Those people exist. People are people.
And it would also be, by the way, completely wrong to launch an investigation on someone with only supporters, right? Like, I mean, you just don't want someone who is crazy activist level opposition.
Correct.
Someone who goes into it with an agenda.
You don't want somebody who says, I'm going to be the hero of the world and save the world from this guy. No, you have to trust the American people. The American people have spoken. Now, if this guy is truly dangerous, if he's doing something that needs to be exposed, yes, but if you just don't like him, whatever, you don't plot against the president. That's a coup, right?
Yes, you certainly do not do that.
So I am... You know, when I'm hearing about the people in the FBI don't like him, I'm cautious because I know that you have Clinton supporters. I just don't trust the DOJ. I think we have politicized the DOJ and the FBI to the point to where I know there are people that are looking the other way. When you find out that the guy who is writing texts who hates Donald Trump and loves Hillary Clinton is the guy who changed it from gross negligence to really sloppy or whatever he changed it to. And you know that that is changing it to from a legal term and distinction.
It was extremely careless, I think.
Yeah. To extremely careless, which means nothing legally. Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
Right. And you got to, the texts are bad enough that you have to figure out what the hell they were trying to do there and what they were saying.
Okay.
But so, again, they did, when they found these texts, they did remove these people from association with the investigation.
Did they do it right away, or
we don't know exactly when they were found.
So they did 375 texts they released to the press. There are 10,000 texts.
The overwhelming majority apparently have nothing to do with Trump. It's just that these are the Trump related exchanges.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of them that are really disturbing that I think we must have an independent counsel on. One, so look. You say we text on that phone when we talk about Hillary because it can't be traced. Wait, what? Why? Why?
And also, this is just a general thing. Like, if you're in the middle of plotting some real shady stuff when it comes to politics, you can't text someone that to be untraced.
Hey,
that's traceable.
Hey, listen. If we're going to talk about murder, call me on the secret phone.
It's not a good idea.
No, it doesn't work.
You're supposed to say that stuff on the secret phone. That's why you have a secret phone.
Exactly right. Okay. Exactly right. Okay, so that one sounds bad. Why are they using texts that, an app that will be unbreakable? Why are they encrypting their texts when they're talking about Hillary Clinton?
Right. It indicates that they didn't think it was going to be a problem, right?
Yes, I guess. Or right. They're stupid.
It could be that they're stupid, but I mean, you're in the FBI. I mean, you know that people look at text messages.
There are stupid people everywhere.
And apparently there is a pushback from people inside the FBI that are like, wait a minute, we're people here.
Yeah, I know.
And we have to be able to have political opinions. We're human beings.
And that's why I rolled my eyes when this started, because they're like, and there were people that said they didn't like Donald Trump.
Right. Who cares?
Who cares?
Honestly, who cares about that? Of course that's going to happen. It happens at every organization. Yeah. And the same thing goes for Hillary Clinton. You'd never be able to have an investigation of Hillary Clinton either if you eliminated everybody who didn't like her.
You cannot have... Well, there wouldn't be anybody left, but you cannot have an investigation of all supporters or all haters.
No.
You need both. You need both. And they both have to be reasonable and professional.
Yeah, investigations by all supporters happen from like Vladimir Putin when he gets investigated.
Right. So
everyone who investigates Vladimir Putin is a big time supporter. And they never find anything.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And those who disagree suddenly find themselves dead. It's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of what I'm trying to avoid here.
Yes.
So there's text, congratulations on a woman being nominated for president. Well, there's texts of me saying, congratulations, America has nominated and elected a black president. I mean,
doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything
on that one, but it gets worse.
Here's the one that really bothers me. Quote, I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way Trump gets elected. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy. In the unlikely event, you die before you're 40. End quote. I mean, why don't you just also say, now's the time to go to our secret phone?
Right.
I mean, that is, what is that?
No, it's
what the hell is that?
That that is the probably the most damning thing.
Really damning.
The secret phone's pretty bad too.
Well, they didn't say the secret phone.
We kind of did.
Yeah. You're right.
You know.
Yeah. But I think that this one, it's an insurance policy. In the likely event you die before you're 40, what was your insurance program? What was that policy?
Right.
What were you working on?
And that needs to be basically part of this investigation, too.
Sure does.
I mean,
I don't trust anyone in Washington to investigate. I really don't.
What do you do, though, then? I mean, if you don't trust anybody to do anything, then what do you do? I mean, you just let it all slide? I mean, if you can't trust anyone to be involved.
I just want a random selection of 100 people in America. And let them oversee the whole thing.
What are you talking about? Like a jury system?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's a crazy idea.
Somebody who's just not connected to any of this. Not, you wouldn't put me on that.
I think, you have people who have been serving in the FBI and have been at high levels investigating for a long period of time. It's not odd that they would be involved in a big investigation like this. When you find out that maybe they have passions that you don't feel comfortable with, politically, then you pull them off the investigation. I mean, let's see what happens with this investigation first. What's the information that comes out? I mean, no one's going to be making a point against these people if they find that Donald Trump didn't do anything with Russia, right? It's have the other side saying, well, why did they kick that person off?
I have to tell you, I think there need to be three investigations. Need to be investigations on the Clinton-Obama years, investigations on Trump and all doing with Russia, and then there needs to be investigations on the DOJ and the FBI. There need to be three of them. They should be going on at the same time.
What if every organization investigates every other organization simultaneously?
Or we could reduce the size of the government so it had such little power they couldn't affect our lives.
Nah. No, that's probably a terrible idea.
That would never work.
Can I bring up one personal point here related to this FBI story?
Yes.
It's really weird for me personally because the female lawyer in this story that was involved in all these anti-Trump texts, her name is Lisa Page.
Yeah, I noticed that. now, let me ask you, Stu Bregeer, which isn't your real name.
No.
It's Steve.
It is.
You have mysteriously been away from things like when there were suicide vests in Jerusalem.
That wasn't mysterious at all. I was home.
You seemed to know about it in advance and didn't attend, so you would have been the only one on the show that wasn't killed.
No one was killed on the show, and also I watched the news, so I was aware there were suicide vests in Israel.
You strangely don't remember where you were on 9/10. You can't give me the...
I was with you on 9/10.
For part of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Notice you can't tell me what you were doing, get name, who you were with, or anything else on 9/10. Let's just go on. Mm-hmm. You also, strangely, are not from Canada, yet you love Canadian teams. We have known...
That one is odd, I will admit.
We know that you've been a spy for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now Lisa Page...
Because Lisa Page, the attorney in this case with the anti-Trump texts, is the same name as my wife's air name. She's a radio host as well, but her name is Lisa Page. Mm-hmm. Lisa Page. So every time I turn on the news, there's these stories developing about how Lisa Page is under investigation by the FBI, and then Lisa Page is having all of these issues. It's very weird. Now, first of all, it's not a real name. Second of all, it's not even spelled the same way. But it is so freaking weird to turn on every news channel and hear your wife's name in the middle of a major news story constantly. It's a very strange phenomenon. And I'm surprised, by the way, and disappointed by the InfoWars of the world, who have not yet tied this show to the FBI. Because, I mean, here we are. We're doing a show.
Is Lisa Page.
I mean, my wife is Lisa Page that just happens to have the same name as the attorney in this story? How is that? I mean, this is easy material for the internet to take advantage of, and I'm surprised so far they haven't.
Now, how surprised is she that she hears her name?
It's very weird for her because she doesn't really care about politics at all.
Yeah.
Other than a passing interest when the big stories happen. So all of a sudden, people are texting her and being like, I heard your name. What's going on? Are you working in the, what is going on? Like some people just think, realize right away it's just.
No, I was wondering how weird it was for her because I'm sure she always thought it would be your name that would be in
totally.
The news.
I'm totally the one that should be getting investigated. It's so weird.
Glenn Beck.
All right. I have a thesis here I would like to share with you that we are entering a time, perhaps in the next year, I think. I think we're at the threshold of this. And it's going to change everything. I have said to you, you have to have credibility. Please do nothing. Get everything out of your life that is wrong, and the mistakes that you've made, own up to them, clean out your own life, and be a person of honor. Be a person above reproach. That is really, really, really hard to do, but it is absolutely vital, because we are entering a time that everything is going to change. You will not be able to trust anything. Okay, we already don't trust the government. We don't trust the parties. We don't trust politicians. We're starting not to trust the police. We don't trust the judges. We don't trust the press. We don't trust anything. So what do you have left? Well, you have your eyes, your ears. I can trust my eyes. I can trust my ear, my earring. You know, I know what I heard it. I know I heard it. I know I saw it. You're about to lose that in a spectacular way. First, let me start with, have you ever heard of the Uncanny Valley? Okay, this is really important. Anybody who's working with AI or robotics knows what the Uncanny Valley is. The Uncanny Valley is this this weird valley in a wave chart, if you will, that people like robots and have an immediate affinity to robots that don't look like anything like people. For instance, you like R2-D2 much more than C-3PO, and it's not just the personality, okay? Because one's more humanoid. And so when it's humanoid, you don't like it as much, okay? But the less humanoid it is, the more the automatic likability goes up. The more it tries to be like a human, there's this valley, the wave all of a sudden starts to plummet down. And you'll know this, and it's you see this in animation, you see this CGI, you see this in robotics. You're watching a robot and they're talking and they've got the facial expressions or whatever, but it's just not right. And what the Uncanny Valley does, it goes from likability to revulsion. And you have this feeling of uneasiness. And the closer it gets to being humanoid and still has those flaws, the more you're like, I don't like that. That's weird. Okay. Until it crosses over and becomes totally realistic. Once it becomes really realistic, the numbers go back up. Okay. And you start to like it again. That Uncanny Valley has stopped us. Because there's something innate in us that says we can look at something and say, that's not right. And you don't like it. There's something that really pushes you saying, I don't like that. That's not right. Something's wrong with that. We're about to cross the Uncanny Valley and what it means to you next.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay. I want to show you what's coming and why you must work on repairing any flaws in your credibility. And do not play games with politics or anything else. And I want to explain to you where we're headed. We already are in a place where we don't trust anything, right? We don't trust anything. If somebody comes out and it's about a politician, we tend to dismiss it because there's a lot of power behind that. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people would make accusations. People are saying now, hey, we've got to believe the accusers. No, we have to listen to the accusers. And then we have to listen to the other side. And then we have to make a decision. Right now, we're not doing that. Somebody comes out and accuses. We believe it. And it's over. It's really dangerous. Who do you believe? Well, if there was videotape. Well, if there was audio. Let me give you a story. It's from Wired magazine. Turning a horse into a zebra is a nice stunt, but that's not all it is. It's a sign of the growing power of machine learning algorithms to rewrite reality. Now, zebrafication was a really big deal. Taking a horse, there's a video, you can find it, a horse in a field, and it's walking by a fence, and they run that and say, this is the original. Then they took this came out a few years ago, they came and they made it a zebra. And this algorithm could take that horse and make it look like a zebra. And there were little glitches here and there, but it was pretty close. And you were like, oh, my gosh, look at this zebra. If you weren't looking for it, you may not spot it. Okay. Zebrafication. Tinkerers have used zebrafication tool to turn shots of black bears into believable photos of pandas, apples into oranges, cats into dogs. A Redditor editor has used a different machine learning algorithm to edit porn videos to feature the faces of celebrities. Now, this has just come out in the last couple of days. So now you can take a porn video. Just a regular person can take a porn video and now superimpose the faces of celebrities in those videos. Now, it's still pretty crude, but that's just on the market. You could do this. There's a new startup called Lyrebird. Machine learning experts are synthesizing convincing audio from one-minute samples of a person's voice. Now, do you remember about a year ago, they were working on this, and it may have been Lyrebird, and they had people working, and they took audio of Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama, and it was pretty good. It had the tone down, but you could still tell it was a computer. And this team of scientists had put this together and put it out, and it was a story, and we reported on it. This is not the same story. This is now you can go to the website and do this to your own voice. Okay? I've just put in some lines into this, and they're crunching it now. It takes a while to crunch it and synthesize my voice. When it's been synthesized, we'll show it to you and play it for you and show you just with a minute of my voice how close they can get. I haven't heard it myself, but I know what it sounded like a year ago when a team of scientists did it. Now you can do it on an app. The engineers developing Adobe's artificial intelligence platform called Sensei are infusing machine learning into a variety of groundbreaking video, photo, and audio editing tools. These projects are wildly different in origin and intent, yet they have one thing in common. They are producing artificial scenes and sounds that look stunningly close to actual footage of the physical world. Unlike earlier experiments with AI-generated media, these look and sound real. A couple of days ago, I sent something to Stu to watch. It was it was two versions of a street. One was in the summer, and one was in the winter.
Yeah, it looked like a dashboard cam, basically. Mm-hmm. Looking out your front window, what would it look like when you're driving down the street?
And if I didn't attach the information to it, Stu, and I said to you, tell me about these two pictures, what would you have said?
You would say that it looks like the same road, but they're driving down. One is driving down in the winter, one is driving down in the summer. And, right. and one was driving down at night, and one was driving down during the day.
And if I really pushed you and said, what's is there something wrong with this video?
I don't think I would have noticed anything.
You would have noticed this. You would have noticed, you would have said, if I really notice, I didn't even notice it first, but it seems to be the same car.
Right. You might notice that the
traffic pattern is exactly the same.
Like the cars that driving in front of them are pulling out at the same time. You'd notice that eventually.
But you would not have noticed that the snow is fake, that the trees being bare are fake, that the entire winter scene and the entire night scene was fake.
It legitimately completely looks as if it's night or if it's in the winter, same exact street. And by the way, the advancement here is not only, because obviously you watch Star Wars is coming out tonight, right? There's not really a Death Star. I don't want to blow the movie.
Yeah, I know.
But this is not like hundreds of millions of dollars of production budget in post. This is real time by something that's easily available.
real time. This boom will have a dark side. Some AI-generated content will be used to deceive, kicking off fears of an avalanche of algorithmic fake news. Old debates about whether an image was doctored will give away new ones about the pedigree of all kinds of content, including text. You'll find yourself wondering, if you haven't yet, what role did humans play, if any, in the creation of that album, of that TV series, of that clickbait article? You, for me, at this point, there is enough video of me for the best of AI, I am told, to make a video of me doing and saying anything, and they will have the mannerisms down pat. You will be able to falsify video. Now, this is at the, you know, NSA style level, or the Google top of the food chain level, that they're able to do those things now. We're talking about being able to create them for pennies on the dollar, in apps, in real time. You won't be able to trust your eyes or your ears. Currently, the article goes on, there are two ways to produce audio or video that resembles the real world. First is to use cameras and microphones to record a moment in time, such as the original moon landing. The second is to leverage human talent, often at great expense, to commission a facsimile. So if the moon descent had to be was a hoax, a skilled film team would have had to carefully stage Neil Armstrong's lunar landing. However, machine learning algorithms now offer a third option. By letting anyone with a modicum of technical knowledge algorithmically remix existing content to regenerate new material. Now, here's why this is a problem. Is there any evidence that that happened? Well, I have this picture. Right now, they're doing this with Donald Trump. He says, I never met her. Well, here she is at Mar-a-Lago, right next to him and his wife, with a bunch of other people. Okay, so the excuse is, well, that was just a line. I don't remember all the people that I meet and take pictures of. Okay, I agree with that. However, if you could take that photo and you could make it so you see him with his hand down going behind her on her butt, if you could take that photo and show it from the other side, well, now you have something, right? And I mean, look at the photo. It's right there. It's fake. Oh, yeah, right. It's fake.
No one would believe it.
No one would believe it. Now, you would say, well, they'll be able to tell. No, they won't. Russia, I told you this story about a year ago. Russia came out with a doctored photo of the moon landing. Do you remember this? It showed the astronaut in front of the Apollo, but on the Apollo 11, it had a Russian flag on the Apollo 11. It had a Russian name on the suit, a Russian flag on his shoulder, and he was planting the Russian flag on the moon. Now, anybody could Photoshop that. However, once you start to go in, you can do forensics on that and say, okay, this has been Photoshopped. Russia offered $1 million to anyone that could prove that that was a doctored photo. They have gotten the algorithms down so well that you can now not tell, even with forensics, that that is real or fake. Think of the ramifications of this. You will not be able to believe your ears. You will not be able to believe your eyes. We are going to have extraordinary discipline, extraordinary patience, extraordinary discernment. We are going to need to listen to the small, still voice to say, this is right, this is wrong, go here, go there.
Think about right now, if you were to lose access to your credit card, or you wanted to change, get a new credit card sent to a different address because you're on vacation, or you lost a password and you had to call up and interact with someone. Just the technology, when mastered, that you're talking about here, would be able to create a world in which you Glenn Beck calls up his credit card company and gives his social security number and gives all of his information and gets that credit card sent to wherever it needs to be. And it's not some other person fooling them. It's your voice, a recognizable voice, telling them that they should have access to your accounts.
So the next thing that you would say is, well, we have to see your face. Well, do you have the new iPhone 10?
Yeah.
Have you used the AI digitization of the face app of the,
yeah,
like the little bears and,
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, the little, I have not personally used that one, but I know it.
Okay.
But it has the face, it's all, you know, tied into that face ID and that
face
camera
ID. It measures, I don't even remember what it is, like, you know, 3,000 points on the face.
I want to say it was 30,000.
30,000 yeah. points on mm-hmm. your face. And so it automatically makes you, it's like a puppet. It's a virtual puppet. And it's watching your face and expression. So if you move your eyebrows, it moves its eyebrows. It syncs with your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Now think of that not as a cute, funny little bear, but as a picture of someone else. You now have Donald Trump's face on as an app, and you now can speak, and it will digitize his face to move like your face. That's where we're at, guys. We're using it as a bear now. But very soon, you'll be able to digitize any face and make it say things that it didn't say. You're not going to know the truth. We're going to lose all instinctive... I don't even know what you'd
call it. It's the fabric, really, of how we make decisions, how we recognize.
It's the instinctive stuff, our eyes and our ears. I saw it myself.
Right.
We're losing that, and I think we're going to lose it in the next 18 to 24 months. When that happens, we better know what's true inside of ourselves. We better know who our spouses are. We better know who the people are that we're with, and they better know you, because the world's about to change. Think how fast careers will be over.
That's true.
You release a tape of somebody.
Yeah, because people, especially at the beginning of it, right? People, yep. This is what happened when the internet, when social networks first started coming out. People were immediately, these companies would get complaints from 30 yep. people in the same yep. day. It was the first time they ever had anything like that. And then they would panic. Over time, maybe that pushes back a little bit. But, I mean, it could be a lot more serious than that, too. People are reminding us of the documentary 24. In which season two, we almost went to war over an altered voice.
No, it's not.
And President Palmer, that was a close call.
All right, all right.
Glenn Beck.
So they have reached a deal on the final tax bill. And we're going to go over that coming up in just a minute. And I also have the list from feminists on the 10 questions that you should ask on a first date. You ask one of these questions of me, and I'm gone. I'm just putting the car, turning it around, and taking you back home.
Might be the goal.
Yeah, it might be. Next.
Glenn Beck.
Everyone likes to have great home-cooked meals, but who wants to go to the grocery store and find all the stupid ingredients that you're going to use like one time because you don't understand, you know, you're not going to be making this stuff all the time, right? That's one of the problems that Blue Apron solves, and it's one of the big ones for me because I don't know how to cook anything on my own, and I certainly don't know how to pick the best produce. I don't know where to find what aisle the right spices in. I don't know any of that. That's why I love Blue Apron, because they do all of that work for me. They send right to your home. All the ingredients that you need, the best produce, the spices that you need in the exact amount that you need them. So you don't even have to worry about measuring it. And they have all sorts of flexible options, no matter how you eat. If you eat, I mean, if you're they've got all sorts of different plans, and you can check them out, and you can substitute stuff and really customize the meals that you get, and they are delicious. Blue Apron is treating you to your first three meals, a $30 value with your first order when you visit blueapron.com/stew. $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/stew. A better way to cook.